Over in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23, one of the verses with the two words, that'll be all I'd ever expect if there's ever an epitaph put on this unworthy preacher's tombstone. He stood. But the last 7 days, beginning 1 week ago yesterday, this is Monday morning, after a tremendous week of battle with 150 task forces from the DHR, Department of Human Resources, that were trained and organized to make their invasion on the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, pick up our human resources that we're in the process of making divine resources. But this great verse, instead of he stood, I'm going to have to say, they stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. This is one of the most exciting stories I've ever told. I tried to write it in a letter, and I knew I couldn't. And so I share on this recorded message with all of our preachers. I call them the horses and chariots of Israel and the first line of defense for any nation. 6 years ago, this preacher entered combat duty with the state of Texas. They said, you'll either get a license, put up a legal sign, or we'll close you down. They were not joking. They then said, we'll put you in jail. And they were not joking. 3 sentences to jail I've received. They said, we'll fine you so much a day. And so $23,500 fine, another $500 fine, and then it amounted to $33,000 and more. Time I paid the court cost, and I paid the interest on the money. And then this last time, the judge ordered a fine of some $22,850. So making a total of $55,000 and a little more for the privilege of rescuing the perishing, doing what the Lord told me to do 46 years ago, building homes for a third of a century, making no charge, taking no tax money. And at the same time, we saved the taxpayers $55 million in actual account if they spent what they spend taking care of our children, and they had to do it. But a week ago this morning, the battle was announced. Their line was formed. I didn't know it, but God was going to send in recruits. Yes, our front line defense. And I want you to listen while I tell you the sweet and blessed story. First thing I knew, they were coming from everywhere, preachers. And then I realized that I was a victim, held captive by the phone and strategy meetings, trying to plan, trying to work something out. And so Dr. Greg Dixon became the captain of our host, led by the captain of our salvation, the Lord of hosts. Brother Earl Little was a wonderful helper. These two men helped to rally the men, organize them, set up their lines of defense. And dear friend, it was one more exciting time when I found out that 150 people were training in their camp, just 30 or 35 miles from the gates of the Rebecca home and the Enterprises, 567 dedicated acres with all of its buildings. And they said, we're coming at the order of Judge Charles Matthews of Austin, Texas, to close the homes and to pick up the girls and take them to TYC. That's the Texas Youth Council, which is a prison home for criminal young people. Oh, the heartache, and even some fear that crept in. Though my faith was still intact, I said, our girls can never go to a prison camp. Think of it, wall-to-wall carpet, beautiful air-conditioned, $1 million dormitory, with all of the lovely food that we have the great Christian workers who burned the bridges and clipped the shorelines and came to Corpus to give the rest of their life to helping us on a meager salary to rescue the perishing and to care for the dying. All of these ministries for a third of a century to be swept away overnight by, I believe, unscriptural, un-American, unconstitutional, unspiritual, unlawful order of the DPR, of the DHR, and what they call the laws of the state of Texas. But we faced a real crisis. It really came on the 20th of June, 1:30. The man had heard me. They'd monitored every radio program, knew exactly what we were thinking. And the man was to come. I do not mean to be disrespectful, but he would serve as the hatchet man, the leader of the forces to come and take over. They said we might even take over the homes for 72 hours and keep them right there before transferring them to TYC. I could not imagine. And yet I'm learning to listen. The nation went into shock. 50 newsmen came, and the news media. 3 television channels from Fort Worth and Dallas, and 2 from Houston, and all of them from Corpus, and newspapers and radio station, and the many, CBS, ABC, all of the affiliates were there. And here we were in a mammoth battle. And that was on Wednesday. At 1:30, I said, I'll meet you at the gate. He said, you'd like to talk with me? I said, I surely would. Said, you said you'd like to talk with me before we made our approach to... I said, I sure would. I'll meet you at the gate and we'll go talk. And as we waited through the news media, his car drove up. He followed me over to the home. We went in the living room. And he said, I've got a job to do. I want to do it as quickly, as easily, and as smoothly, and as safely. Oh, they saw the people gathered. They saw God's people gathered. The cleanest crowd, the finest bunch of men, men with broken hearts, folks with great concern. Parents had come from across and around the nation to protect the interests of their child. They'd had them Secret Service agent, a protector for Mr. Mondale and Mr. Carter in Washington, had brought his little girl after 5 unsuccessful stays in state homes, which he said were nothing but pigsties. He came to Corpus and looked at our home and said, it's immaculate. This is where I wanted to stay. And oh, the blessings that began to fall on that little girl. She came in vile and vulgar and profane, cursing everybody. And yet, that kind of language was gone, but she was not ready to return home. But he said, preacher, don't you let the state get my little girl. I had somehow to carry out the request of the parents, and yet I faced an order from the Attorney General and from the judge to say the homes must close. After all these years of travel, prayer, building, and taking girls and boys, well, the anchor home folded first, and they were shipped home. But we said we'll have to make a stand at Rebecca, and that stand we did make. He said to me, we're ready now. I was desperate. I knew that I needed time. I said, one of my lawyers is not here. He's on his way from Washington. We'd made every court in the land from Laredo to Washington. No judge would hear our case. No judge would give us a stay order. An injunction ain't nothing. We could not get in the court. The parents signed and filed a class suit and said, please, hear us, judge. And judges said, no, sir, we won't hear you. So we were shut up. We were helpless. Mr. David Gibbs made a statement at the beginning of this last fight some 2 weeks ago. He said, God's going to do something so big and so good and so great. We'll know it wasn't the lawyers. We know that it wasn't man. We know it was the Lord. And so sure enough, I believe this has come true. And so he said, we don't need to meet a lawyer. We're here to get the job done. We're ready. My forces are down the road just a piece, and they're ready to come in. I said, give me an hour and a half. I must have an hour and a half. My heart was sinking, really. I never had such a feeling. I was almost numb. I wasn't afraid, but I knew I needed wisdom. I knew that all the children's parents were not here, and they'd be picked up and taken away to TYC. And that was the last place I'd ever want our girls to go. They said our home's sort of like Brother Roth, except we don't have any religious teaching. No Bible, no Christ, no prayer, no Christian worker to tell them good night, counsel with them, and help them in their sin problems. And so, 3 o'clock he called me and said, I said, you can come at 3:30. He said, we'll come when we think it's appropriate. They had gotten a vision of all the preachers and all the people and all the news media that were there to film what they were going to do. And so they said, we'll be there this afternoon. We got ready. We waited. Went on the broadcast 5 to 5:30. And then after that, our radio men, our trucks that were monitoring them and following them, said they're on their way. They first checked out all their vehicles, had a caravan of 115 here we've come, and leaving room enough to pick up the girls. They started in our direction, and the last report, they're 3 minutes away from Rebecca. Our lines had formed, and our preachers were in the front line with old glory waving, and then with their Bibles and singing Victory in Jesus. Behind them were the parents, and then behind them were our workers, and behind them was a locked door. Cleve McClary with a flag, one arm, one eye gone, stood yonder in the drive and said, Brother Roloff, I'd like to stand in the drive. And if they won't run over me, I'll gladly die for this cause. He and his wife came to stay a week with us to help us in the battle. You talk about a brave Marine, and one who loves people. Oh, the blessings that they got. The preachers took their stand. 3 of our preachers, or maybe 4, I don't know. And they became rather restless, and they came to fight. And we said, you cannot. They continued to bring word. They said, Brother Roloff, we've got some volatile situation in people, and we're afraid something's going to happen. There'll be bloodshed. They're not going to take it when they come in and start hauling the girls up. And I said, I appreciate their willingness to fight, but tell them to either, you know, correct the attitude or go home. And they very graciously got on the plane and left. I sometimes wonder, have you ever wondered how far we should go in protecting our children and our family? They were committed to us, complete custody, like I was their dad. They called me dad, their granddad. And once I had to face the decision, I said, we'll be peaceful, Christ-like. I warned my people, though I'll have to admit some of them had already bought shells for their guns and said, Brother Roloff, just in case, you order it, we'll stand. I know you may not understand, but if I ask you what you do if they can to get your child, that makes it different. That's right. And so we decided that a peaceful demonstration, the Word of God, prayer, singing, Old Glory, a locked church door, and putting the girls in the church would be what we were going to do about it. And so we found they were coming. The last minute, a message came from the governor and said, don't walk through those human lines of God's divine prophets. Don't go through those. Don't march up to the church and take an axe and chop that church door down. Don't you go in there. Dr. Dixon, our captain, had told a preacher to be preaching in the pulpit and said, you just keep a preaching. If they walk in, you can just, you know, the wages of sin is death. And righteousness exalted the nation. The wicked shall be turned into hell. All the nations that forget God. Preach, just go ahead and preach. Girls, if you want to, go to the altar. Be kneeling and praying that God would protect you and keep you where your dad and mother put you and where you found Christ. Now, at first, I told the girls that I'd permit them to fight, to kick, to bite, to pull hair, to scratch, and to do all the rest of it, saying, we don't want to go. I said, that's the way you did when they brought you in here. You hurt some of my workers. You bit them and kicked them, and blood ran as we tried to settle you down. But I decided later that would not be understood by the world, even though it seemed that we'd have a right for a little girl to protect herself. If a Kansas City pimp came in and said, we want you, young lady, to go with us, we plan to save you, I think she'd have every right to protect herself. And brother, when you go to one of the PYC homes, they believe that abortion is all right, the pill is all right, immorality is all right, and disobedience is all right, and rock and roll is all right, and anything that comes on TV is all right. Folks, I believe our little girls had a right to stand up. We just simply said, if you'll just kneel there, sit in the pew, and if they come into the church, just say, I'm not going. I don't want to go. I'm here because my mother and dad placed me here. I'm here because the judge placed me here. Now you want to take me out of the best place. This is the only chance I've ever had to meet and to know Christ and to find real victory. I don't want to go with you. I've been in the state homes. Please don't take me. But if they say, we're going to take you anyhow, she'd say, you'll have to pick me up. I'll never walk willingly, never will. And so, sure enough, they'd have to pick her up. When they walk out at the door, the mother or the daddy would walk up to them, because that's all we had left, were the girls that whose parents were there. That's the reason I needed the hour and a half, and from 1:30 to 3, and oh, we moved in a hurry to protect our girls and to protect what God had sent to us. And when they walked out of the door, if they had, then one of the parents would walk and say, sir, do you realize you have my daughter in your arms? Drop her. I mean, put her down. She's mine. I put her here because I wanted her here. All the time, the news media, the television cameras would be flashing, telling the story of how the state invaded the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to take people and break up a service, pick them up from the altar, interfere with the preaching of the word of God. Ah, listen, dear friend, we've seen some real victories, but thank God our line didn't break. It stood. The parents stood for one solid week, almost a week. And then, of course, when they came, they split up the caravan. One went the lower route. One came by Rebecca home with three vehicles. And then that great scripture that I love so good, and they came to pass. And brother, when they passed, we sighed a sigh of relief. Our preachers thank God, singing victory in Jesus. And I tell you, it was a glorious time, but that night was another night to watch. When the service was over and God gave a victorious and a glorious service that night. Oh, the preaching of the word and the wonderful time that we had together. And yet, we were sort of like the men working on the wall with a weapon in one hand and with the building tools, the Bible, in the other. And Sandalot and Tobiah were all around saying, come down! We'll have a conference. And there was no way to come down. We've been asked to take a license. Please take a license. Make an application for a license. And then the cry came. The people believed. I think our attorney general, the governor, others believed. When Brother Olaf sees those girls going out of there, his compassion will overcome his conviction, and he'll weaken and say, please, don't take them. I'll take a license in order to keep the girls. But what they didn't know, compassion could be built on the flesh or on tradition, but conviction is built on only one thing, and that's the word of God. And I say again, when my compassion becomes greater than my conviction, I've become a modernist. And so the brethren, oh, like a wall of fire about me, they stood. They loved us. I was almost in a daze last week. In fact, as I've been suffering and from withdrawal, I really have. And how good the Lord has been to sustain and be with us and bless our preachers and help them. That night was a beautiful sight. We knew they were coming back. We didn't know what hour. We didn't know what time. But we knew that they were planning to make another attack. The preachers said when the service was over, we'll be standing up. Radios were monitoring. Our people were watching. The preachers formed their line and said, we stay. Half of us will stay until 2 o'clock. The other half will come at 2 o'clock. When you hear somebody's coming, you come quickly and strengthen the lines. The girls were to sleep in the church. And they said, we'll not get them as long as they stay in the church. Oh, what a lesson. There's safety in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the next day came. And on Friday, we met, Brother Jack Howe came. And then I went to meet with the Attorney General in the private office downtown in Corpus Christi. And we hit on a plan where we could obey the order and then reconstruct everything and reorganize everything under the church, the People's Church, which is a plain Baptist church. And we decided that we would obey the order with the understanding we'd never take a license, and we'd come back under the conservatorship, which I think will provide a way. Our greatest days are ahead, even though we've lost some 200 young people, boys and girls. The home's been greatly disturbed. And tomorrow, the Attorney General, I think, will come, or at least some of his staff, walk through the dormitory. The news media will be here to picture only 5 girls that are left in the dorm is all we could legally keep. And then we'll walk those lonely halls and just take a look at the Garden of Memories and see every bed empty except 5. That shows you, dear friend, where we're heading. But I tell you what we did. We sent back a task force that were on fire, and they were spiritually volatile, I believe, in their pulpits. We had a week of training such as we never had, and the preachers never did quit. Dr. Bob Jones III had a plane filled up and ready to come today. Others were coming. People were being mobilized across and around the nation and all the way from California to the East Coast. The preachers had gathered and said, "We'll never leave. As long as the battle rages, we'll keep our line. We're going to protect the church and the children." Yes, even though weary, the soldiers and sunburned, the newspaper said on the front page with pictures of preachers and the flag in the Bible said the preachers brought victory and kept the homes from closing. Oh, if we'd have done this 6 years ago, I never would have gone to jail the first time. But I believe there's an awakening across and around our nation. Calls have come from Australia and other places. 60 Minutes has carried 3 reports in all of the work. And the Lord is going to bless. We're in the midst of Reconstruction Days. In the morning, a busload of our girls will go to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and then on for a long summer camp. We had the privilege of placing every girl that didn't have a place to go, and they'll be cared for. We hope to be back in full swing in September. It shows you what can be done if the preachers will stand together. If it's a sin to have a license. A lady just called and said, "Brother Warren, we've got a licensed home." And I said, "We'll be glad." I said, "I'll never put a child of mine in a state home. Never will. They'll have to be. Why would I take them out if they're paying the price? Put them in a licensed home with the direction of the state." In closing, let me thank all the churches for sending you, Pastor. I know there's been expense and time and delay in some of the work on the home front, but thank the Lord for God's horses and Church of Israel. Preachers, I'll always be grateful. I've never had much, of a recognition program, but I want the name of every preacher. I'd like to put his name on a plaque. I think this will be recognized as history unfolds itself. Children and grandchildren will see where their dad and where their preacher came to Corpus Christi and fought a good fight. You say, what's the future? Brighter than it's ever been. Brighter than it's ever been. I believe by September, we'll be free. We'll be reloading. Reconstruction Days. We got a committee to go through the big dormitory and completely refurbish and fix it up. Our girls will be properly cared for. There'll be a band of girls coming back to go on a tour, to finish up the tours with Brother Mrs. Cameron. We're not discouraged. We feel that victory is coming. May I say this? It's left us financially depleted. If those who hear this message would like to just pray first, thank God second, And then share a time when you'd help us and undergird us. We've got $10 million worth of building in our computer in Austin, Texas, to build buildings. Oh, the building program. Never have I seen such a challenge. And people are waiting, stacks of them. I mean stacks of them. We went over the news media, some of the television channels, and a little girl was leaving, her mother, tears was rolling down her face. She'd kidnapped her child, a girl from the state, brought her down here and said, I'm going to stay till you take her. Brother Cameron said, finally, we can't take her. They started to drive away, and I got to talking with him. The little girl said, I want to stay. I have no hope in going back. I'll go to the state program, and I want to stay. The news media took a picture, got her testimony, and I agreed to keep her. She'll be going to Hattiesburg. Folks, you cannot imagine the calls, the people that have been waiting, the disappointment. I just want to say, God bless you. Thank you, preachers. I thought I knew how to love preachers, but I guess I didn't. I thought I knew how to pray for preachers and be grateful for preachers, and because I pray for you every day. But oh, never have I seen such a line of first defense, preachers standing with courage and love. Never have I seen such a battle, warriors as I've seen in the last few days. Our Father, I want to thank you for what our hearts have felt and seen in the last few days. Thank you that God did take care of us. The homes did not close, just transferred for a moment and then back again. Father, bless the preachers and the churches. Help them to know that this is a real warfare. This is not a sham battle. They're after our children. They're after our churches. And Lord, thank you for sustaining me during these difficult days, for the understanding of the preachers, the churches, and the many tearful calls that have come that have been praying for us. May the Lord bless those. In Jesus' name, amen.